This is Donnie Jackson, editor of IWC's Urgent Communications, and today I'm speaking with Josh Lober of ES Chat. Josh, thanks for taking the time to speak with us.
Absolutely. Always a good time talking with you, Donnie.
Well, today is a really good time. I know you guys made a big announcement with Siyata Mobile. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so in partnership with Siyata, we've launched a solution that includes ES Chat push-to-talk into their new SD7 IoT radio. This is big for a number of reasons. It's not the first IoT radio that we've integrated with, but it is the first IoT radio that is certified for use on the U.S. carriers. So it's a big thing. It is certified on Verizon and on AT&T, and it's also a FirstNet-approved device.
Okay. And I saw on their press release that they're hoping to get certification from T-Mobile in the coming months. Is that right?
That's correct. They're estimating in the next couple months it will be certified on T-Mobile as well.
Okay. And I want to make sure whoever the people that are listening, you mentioned, you know, typically the things that we have historically heard from folks is, you know, hey, I'm using LMR radios, and those are very well known and that sort of thing. And also the whole notion of cellular push-to-talk using notably ES Chat as my application on an LTE device. But this is different. You mentioned the IoT. Can you talk to people a little bit about how that's different than, say, being on a regular LMR or regular Wi-Fi system, what this radio brings to the table?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's a good point. So it is not a phone. You can't make phone calls on an IoT device. Its form factor, I mean, it looks like a small radio or a walkie-talkie. It's an LTE connected device that is built for push to talk. It has a rotary knob for channel selection. It has a 2-line OLED display. It has volume up and down buttons. And of course, it also has a good sized push to talk button and also an SOS or emergency button. It does have an option for a remote speaker mic. So if you want to clip it to your belt and have the mic up on your shoulder, that's an option. And they have a few different remote speaker mics or RSM in their portfolio, some that include channel selection and volume control right on the RSM. But, you know, the point is, it's not a phone. And it's not a radio in the traditional sense of the word. What it is it's an LMR radio-like thing that uses an IoT data plan, which is a reduced price plan for wireless devices that don't need, you know, they don't make phone calls, so they don't need a minutes plan. And typically, they're not using the amount of data as, you know, as a cell phone. And, you know, push-to-talk is a great example of, you know, of a use for an IoT device. Push-to-talk, of course, is half duplex. So you're either talking or receiving, or you're in a silent mode, but you're never doing both at the same time. So that limits your traffic. Plus, you know, even broadband voice is relatively narrowband when you compare it to, say, video, which is what most of the data plans on cell phones are sized for. So, you know, we typically only see, you know, depending on the traffic model and the usage, you know, of a typical user, you know, maybe 600 megabytes a month of data on a typical push-to-talk user.
Okay. All right. Well, two things that you brought up, some great points there. So first off, from a cost standpoint, about how much data what kind of data plan am I going to need here, you know, compared to, say, you know, $40 to $80 a month on a full-fledged, hey, I'm supporting video on a regular cell phone?
Yeah, it's a good question, and it's there's a little bit of dependency on which carrier you choose and what plan you have. There are all sorts of options for IoT plans, but we're looking at a $15 or less price to include both the ES Chat service and your IoT data. So all in, you should be in the $15 range for everything to operate, a nationwide push-to-talk solution.
Well, that's really important, because I know I've talked to a lot of people that said, they respect the fact that, you have push-to-talk, and I can use these smart devices to do the internet and look up stuff and things like that and do video. But I know a lot of people that have told me, hey, I really like the idea of having a dedicated voice device and then being able to use that smart device for some of those broadband functions. And this sounds like a way to do it in a way that, frankly, may be able to fit in people's budgets as opposed to literally doubling their costs.
Yeah, I think it's a challenge when you have businesses or agencies that want a second device for push to talk, and they're forced to buy, another phone with another full data plan. This gives the option to provide your team a device that at the end of the day they can shut off. It's affordable. It's focused at a specific task at push to talk communications. So it's not going to get abused. The business or the enterprise doesn't need to worry about an employee using it for an unintended purpose. It just doesn't do anything else.
Right.
In terms of its use, what's unique about it, besides the fact it's certified for use in the U.S., is it's loud. Mm-hmm. I've had one on a belt clip, and you can hear it while it's on your belt, even in a loud environment. Of course, with the RSM, it's right by your ear, so you can definitely hear it. But it's got a 2.5 watt speaker, and we were recently at the CPRA, or Southern California APCO, vendor fair, and I had a bunch of phones from different vendors on the table, and we had ROIP traffic coming in, and I had an SD7, I had a Motorola Apex 8000, and in a loud environment when there was a lot of traffic walking around the hall, the only devices you could hear were the Ciata SD7 and the Motorola Apex radio.
Wow. Well, that's one side of performance, that loud speaker. But talk to me a little bit about voice quality. I would think some people in our audience might say, hey, this is an Internet of Things device, so we're talking less, I'm going to have less bandwidth to use, and so that might mess up my voice quality. What is the actual case?
No, I mean, ES Chat's known for its voice quality, and this device we use the same voice codec and voice codec rates as we do on any smartphone device. There is no degradation in the throughput. It's just typically, IoT sensors, IoT types of devices use smaller amounts of data, and this is no exception. I'd say probably in the spectrum of IoT functions, this is probably at the higher end, but even at the higher end, you're still talking less than a gigabyte per month.
Okay.
The plans are not, rating, or derating the throughput. And again, we're only talking about, you know, 32 kilobits or 40 kilobits with overhead of voice traffic, which, again, compared to video, is, you know, is trivial.
Right. Well, and I'm guessing that means that the battery's got to last forever if all you can really do is push to talk on it, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the best parts about it. It's, you know, it's always a challenge on, you know, on smartphones. You know, newer smartphones always have, you know, good, strong, fresh batteries, and the newer smartphones have higher capacity batteries. But, you know, when you're operating push-to-talk on a smartphone, unless you're using a remote speaker mic or maybe a Bluetooth push-to-talk button, if you're relying on your on-screen push-to-talk button, well, the biggest user of the battery on a smartphone is your display. So if you're forced to have your display on while you're in a call, then that is further going to degrade your battery. So again, having a device that's application specific for push-to-talk, a dedicated push-to-talk button, and only a two-line, you know, low-power OLED display, it's a perfect device for push-to-talk. And if I didn't say it, it is loud.
Well, very, very true. Well, so, you know, you mentioned the loudness and the voice quality. It sounds very much like a radio. What about from a physical standpoint? Is this thing gonna break is real easily, or is it closer to like they're calling it an IoT radio, is it more like does it have that kind of ruggedness to it?
It does. You know, we haven't you know, taken them out and tried to destroy them yet, but they are built to IP68 and MIL standard 810G specs. They look rugged. They look like they're going to handle what they need to handle, and I suspect from an experienced company like Ciata, they will. Yeah, it's super exciting because it appears to be the device that's going to do what we hoped other devices would have done in the past years. Mm-hmm. This is exciting.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and tell me, from an interoperability standpoint, I mean, is this going to show up in my radio network like other ESChat devices and you know, be able to do all of the interoperate from a voice standpoint the same way, you know, a smartphone does using ESChat?
Yeah, that's a great point. So, yes, it fits. It operates on the ESChat network and within the ecosystem. It communicates with, you know, all the iOS and Android smartphone devices, regardless of carrier or whether they're on Wi-Fi, with radio devices, whether they're wireline with ISSI or AIS or, you know, hardware-based ROIP through gateways. You know, all the dispatch consoles we're integrated with, you know, Zetron and InterTalk and Mindshare and Logis and others, as well as, you know, if we're connected to a logging recorder system. Yeah, I mean, it just fits into the network and communicates with everything. In terms of features, you know, without having a display, it obviously is a little bit limited in what it can do or what it can't do. You know, ESChat has, you know, secure real-time push-to-talk, secure group messaging, and location tracking and mapping. So in terms of the push-to-talk side, it does group calls. It can receive a private call, but you can't initiate a private call from the radio.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have a scan mode in it. It's currently you select a single channel. Unlike, you know, the smartphone app with our Gen 2 apps can be in up to 4 calls simultaneously without having a user interface. It's that would be impossible to do from, you know, from an IoT radio.
Mm-hmm.
So it does basic group calling. It does, you know, it can receive private calls. It doesn't do messaging because there's no display sufficient for it. There's no input device. And in terms of location, you can't see a map on it, but it does have GPS, and your location is, you know, shareable and seeable on other smartphones or back at dispatch.
Okay. All right. And how does this compare price-wise to an LMR radio or a smartphone?
It's priced as appropriate for what it is. I mean, it's an application-specific device. It doesn't, you know, do as much as a smartphone does, so you would expect it to be priced less than a smartphone, and of course it is. It's in the, you know, depending on volumes, you're in the mid-300s in low quantities, and in higher quantities, the price goes down. And I think as adoption goes up, the price will, you know, we would expect it to come down. But, you know, compared to a cell phone and certainly compared to a radio that can do what this does, it is, you know, it's a fraction of the cost of a radio.
Right. And I would think in terms of, you know, you have that initial cost and everything, but the big thing is that those ongoing costs, right? That you're not having to pay for a big data plan on a smartphone side, and you're not having to build an LMR network to support it on a radio side.
Right. And you get, you know, for a nominal, you know, capital expenditure up front and a very good priced monthly service package, you have, you know, a high quality, reliable, nationwide walkie-talkie system, effectively.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's great because, you know, as you run your business, you have certain users that might have, you know, a different mission from other users. And, you know, it might be that some of the users need, you know, this is the perfect device for them, while other users, you know, a smartphone is the perfect device. And obviously for dispatchers, they're using something different altogether, but it's all transparent. I mean, they don't, you know, everybody can do everything and communicate with everybody.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, this sounds like a great thing for people that may only need to use a device once or twice, as opposed to something that, you know, if I've got a first responder or a regular person that needs an LMR radio per se, use it all the time. But this sounds like something that I could give to somebody real quickly that needs to be part of the talk group, maybe for, you know, today and tomorrow, but not necessarily, you know, for weeks and months at a time.
Yeah, you know, we see, you know, in public safety, we see a lot of this, as you know, agencies put together caches of, you know, what inevitably wind up being smartphones to hand out, you know, in emergencies,
right,
to give to neighboring agencies, you know, or visiting users to communicate. This is, you know, it's ideal for a lot of applications, but that's one of them. To keep a cache of these, they're simple. You know, you don't have to be a smartphone user. You don't have to worry about being handed an Android when all you've ever used was an iPhone. This is as basic as it gets, and all you have to do is give it to somebody, and they get it. So, you know, I think there are a lot of, it will open up a lot of use cases that it probably wasn't designed for, but nonetheless, I think we're going to see, you know, a big adoption of this type of device.
Very cool. Well, Josh, congratulations on the announcement today. And by the way, you think this will be, is this something that people might be able to see at IWCE in March?
Absolutely. You know, we brought a few of them to the last IWCE in September, and of the new things we highlighted, this got the most attention. And now that it is, you know, commercially available and carrier certified, it's going to be one of the things that we are absolutely highlighting at the show.
All right. Very cool. Well, Josh, thank you so much, and congratulations on the announcement.
Yeah, you bet. I look forward to talking to you again. Thanks, Tony.